Hi, and welcome back to another episode of the Owl's Nest Podcast. I'm Renee Scuddy. In this episode, Adam Al-Khatib and Riley Mirabello sit down with members of Owl Media, including Brendan Flanagan, Jenny Hall Frantz, Roger Newcomb, and Summer Grace, to discuss their experiences at Owl Media, the pieces they brought with them, and their advice for future members. Let's jump right in.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Owl's Nest Podcast. We are joined here today by our very special guest, Brendan Flanagan. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Jenny Hall Frantz, a volunteer at Owl Media. How are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you.
Mr. Roger Newcomb, and how are you doing today, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Summer Grace. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am great.
All right, so we're going to start this right off the bat. Introduce yourself. Tell us a little about yourself. What do you like? What do you dislike?
As I said, my name is Brendan Flanagan. I was an intern for Owl Media last semester, spring of 23, and recently got promoted to the editor position. So I'm over the summer editing. That's about the best way I can put it.
Care to elaborate which program you use?
Adobe Premiere Pro is usually what I use because that's what they have me using, but I do enjoy it. I do enjoy getting to take my editing skills, taking those from like the two apps on my phone that I use for editing and translate that to a more professional field. That's really cool to have that experience.
When they give you projects to edit, are they giving it to you or are you coming up with it yourself?
Yeah, it's usually they're giving it to me. There's like a whole board in the room right now where we like have all these projects that I have to go through over the summer. And it's usually just stuff from like previous journalism classes, projects that were started by that. And they're like, okay, let's go through and finish this one and publish it or something like that.
Could you, if you don't mind, give us an example of one that you did?
There's a trip for Owl Media, like December. They went to New York City and they decided to like highlight this cat cafe in the city. And that was the first edit project I actually like did myself. It's probably the thing I'm the most proud of from my internship.
So you got to edit that piece from New York City that they were working on?
Yep.
Were you able to finish it?
Yeah. Entire video was done. I think it got published in March.
I started out taking a journalism class and it just drew me right in. I have so many varied interests. One of my favorite things to do is gardening. I love photography. I take pictures of flowers in my garden just pictures of the vegetable garden, like just to see it progress.
Right, like a day one, this is how it started off, and mm-hmm. then day like 30, it's already grown out kind of
it's
thing.
It's awesome. That's looking so at cool. The progression.
Yeah. I took a photography class in high school, a lot of fun.
I did not know that I had a knack for it until the professor started really speaking up, saying things like, Jenny, every time you bring your pictures to me, they just blow me away. Or I love seeing your pictures.
Nice. How does that impact you with Owl Media as well?
To be honest with you, my goal is Christian media.
Okay.
So I would like to just take one class at a time. I have disabilities that limit me, but that's okay.
No, that's great. You know, disabilities make us who we are, you know.
That's exactly right.
We learn from them and we use them to our advantage. And I've had learning disabilities all my life and going up elementary to high school, and I still have some now, so I totally understand what you're going through.
Well, my position right now is just as an alumni because I'm in a break. I went to school the last two springs, but I took the spring off. So right now my role is provide some editorial things when new articles or whatever new videos come out. Mm-hmm. So, and I tend to be the hard one. Like everybody comes in, they're like, oh, this and that. And then I come in and I'm like, this is garbage.
So with it being garbage, what did you choose to study then?
Oh, what did I choose to actually study? I didn't really have a course of study. I did an independent study in the spring of 2021 with Matt Tennyson. And then in the spring of 2022, I did an internship to get the website up.
Okay.
Al went from being an actual student publication paper to then Professor Brown made it into a magazine. Right. And then now it's completely online.
It's all virtual.
Yeah. All virtual.
I'm a general studies major. I was studying journalism in the fall, but I changed my major. So I'm not going to be taking any more journalism classes, but I definitely will be sticking around Owl Media and still working with the club.
What kind of drew you into liking journalism or wanting to be a part of Owl Media?
Well, journalism, I've never really been too into it. I'm more on the production side.
Okay.
I stay there, I think, because it's fun. I get to do something I love. I'm not the biggest journalism person, like reporting, and like I'm not big on like having to edit articles. Video is more my forte, but
okay.
It's a great group of people, really great group of people that have been really welcoming the past few months, and I enjoy it. I enjoy it a lot.
I got to do things that I love to do, which is writing, and I'm learning to be more succinct. And I realized that the editing process, they weren't so hard on me.
I would say really Professor Brown swung me into it. I've always had an interest in writing. I've always been told that I'm a fairly good writer.
Sure.
So just kind of do something besides nothing sort of thing.
Don't let the boredom get to you.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, I haven't really chosen a focus of study or anything like that. That's probably why I never was really good at going to college. Because I could never decide which road to go down.
So I actually took journalism classes all 4 years of high school, and wow. I just really fell in love with it. I just loved all the different aspects of it, the interviewing, photography, social media. I just really enjoyed all of that.
Could you tell me about your piece that you brought us today about the drumming up business in Havity Grace?
That was just being immersed in it. First Fridays in Havity Grace,
I love those.
Shut down the streets and... Yep. They have like 5 different bands going on.
Yeah.
And right by Concord Point Coffee House on that corner, that's where they have a drum circle. People from the town will sit down and play, and they have a big container in the middle with other sound-making things. Mm-hmm. Like I was looking down with my eyes closed as I was drumming, and I looked up, and there was a belly dancer right in front of me.
Quite a show, wasn't it?
It was so awesome.
That's so good. What was it, a belly dancer?
A belly dancer.
That's insane.
With the cymbals and all.
So with Dude, Where's My Destiny, has the idea of it, in a general sense and personal sense, changed from what you wrote about it?
It's probably more of a thing of leaving myself open to potentially what might happen, sort of giving it a direction, but then being malleable as to where that direction might go. So that's kind of where that left me. And I'm still in that space. I would like to have more of a community type based living thing, but we'll see. That's got to develop, you know, with trust and meeting the right people and stuff like that. So as far as destiny, and where is my destiny? You know, some people, like, they line it up for themselves, and then, you know, they look back and say, this is what I wanted to do. And I sort of, like, kind of been riding life like a wave, never really knowing when that perfect set's going to come in and which wave you're going to actually catch and how long you're going to ride it and if it's going to pummel you, you know, or if you're going to get off it like a rock star.
Always think about that. It's like, you know, where will it take me?
Exactly.
You know?
In a to-be-determined state.
Yeah, right.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
You were talking to us beforehand about Dude, Where's My Destiny and Lessons from a 99-Year-Old. I believe you said Dude, Where's My Destiny was a pandemic piece you did, correct?
Yeah, because it was all about the theme of Owl Media. It was the destiny issue.
Right? Okay.
But then that kind of turned into, like, where is everybody's thing gone because COVID happened? That's a follow-up article, My Destiny is to be Determined.
That would not be a bad title, to be honest.
And that's what you wrote about all in the article without expressing that directly?
Yeah. It kind of was a little short narrative history of, like, what I had been doing and how things needed to change and how change was like, okay. I often tell people that I believe in a quantum reality where you basically are the only one creating everything. Everything's kind of an illusion. But the dichotomy is that every single person is that.
Yeah.
I am a figment of your imagination.
That's right.
You know, what did I say when I wanted to size up all of quantum? I said reality is a real-time reflection of your perception.
Absolutely.
So as you perceive, it reflects, which is really a privileged point of view in a way, because we're not really worrying about digging ditches, right, to afford, you know, feeding our family that we can't afford to feed.
Right.
I had been telling myself for years I had needed to get out of the AV industry just to give it a break, and I was also Burning Man type stuff.
And
my life was basically those two things. And I was like, I need this to stop. So like 2016, 17, 18, and 19, telling the universe, this needs to stop. Then the universe is like, yo, you're not stopping. You know? Okay, so here's something that's going to make you stop. COVID. And I mean, audiovisual stopped worldwide.
Yeah.
And so did Burns. Those two things that I needed to stop, like, were the first things that just stopped.
Right.
And so I was like, wow. You know, like, did I create COVID? Maybe. In a quantum sense, yes. You know, maybe, you know, there was all of us that created that needed something, some kind of aspect from it. Or, you know, we weren't getting what we needed to out of life. So let's create something to redirect our focus sort of thing.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Surely it sucked when you had to stop it, of course. You know.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no, because I knew that I needed to give it a break. And then my boss was like, 2020, we're going to be so busy, the busiest spring. And, you know, so then, instead of me going, no, I can't do it, I'm like, all right, let's do it. I'm ready to work every day, all day long, you know. And it's sort of a heartbreaking industry. Concert side, corporate side, it's very wasteful. Like, there was a lot. A lot of materials that are wasted, lots of food that's wasted.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I mean, it just gets to be kind of heartbreaking because, mm-hmm. you know, how they talked about the dolphins are coming back into the rivers of Venice and the skies are clearing up and, you know, all these things are happening. And everyone's saying, whoa, maybe normal wasn't so good. I remember that being the talk. But then everyone was just kind of waiting to get back to being normal again, you right. know, because I thought there would be really like a substantial call to be more aware of all the things that we're wasting in our industry, in the audiovisual industry. And you know, there's none. It's just right back to, you know.
Right back to how it was. Yeah.
Right back to how it was, and a lot of people wanting to make more money and pay less.
You'll figure,
right?
Yeah,
right. Even worse.
Yeah.
Here's more from Adam Alkatib and Riley Marabello as they interview Brendan Flanagan, Jenny Hall Frentz, Roger Newcomb, and Summer Grace from Owl Media.
Was COVID the biggest challenge you faced when writing Where's My Destiny, or was there other issues that you had?
Other than my need to procrastinate everything to like the last minute, to the point where I feel like I can't get it done sufficiently or like as good as I wanted to if I was started a month ago and here I am the last night to do it. Let's see, Dude, Where's My Destiny? That was the first time in my life. How old? Like 50 years old. And that was the first time that I ever wrote typing. So
really?
All of my life I'd always written and then I'll type.
Wow.
Right. So this is the first time I ever composed anything with typing.
Wow.
So 50 years old. And then the lessons from a 99-year-old, I was just kind of giving up on it. I was going through some issues mentally and emotionally. And Professor Brown called me up on the day that the article was due. And she's like, I think you can still do this. I think you can whip it out. I wrote that article. Of course, I edit as I'm going.
Yeah.
Constantly. I always go back and read. You always, you know, check the flow.
That's always a good habit.
So that by the time that I actually write the article, it's done.
It's
edited,
done.
You know, unless
right.
other people. And for my articles, I've had some feedback as far as, you know, Dude, Where's My Destiny? I think I opened it up in a certain way where someone was like, you might not want to open it up. You're a little rough there. You might detract some audience. And I was like, you know, I mean, that's, I didn't change it. I didn't change a thing ever. Like all the suggestions to edit anything with my articles, I was like, great. Yeah, no, I'm not changing it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're proud of what you did, essentially.
It's not a pride thing. It's just, I feel like it's finished. It's done.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Can it be better? Yeah, maybe, but it's done.
But it's done. Yeah. Like, you don't need to touch it again.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, going back in there would make it more worse than better.
And so I literally wrote that article in my notes on my phone.
The notes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
That's yeah. nice. And that was it. I copied it out of my notes, sent it as an email.
Cool.
And there it was. And I mean, and I remember Firas, he was like, it's really good. I like it a lot. And I was like, thank you. And then when he found out that I had just wrote it a one draft thing on my notes, he was like, what?
Too good to be true?
Yeah. I mean, that's the only way I was going to get it done. You know?
Right.
Because I wasn't going to whip out my computer, of course.
I mean, sometimes writers just need to, like, just write, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they spend too much time thinking and planning. And sometimes you just need to be at the edge of your seat and just put words on the page.
You just need to write. I always tell people, you know, there's this finished book that you have that's maybe 400 pages, but when you look, there's a wall full of stuff that was
done
to create this book. You know, I think a lot of people think maybe they're just going to start writing and it's just going to flow out, you know, and it's like, no, there's revisions to that, revisions to this.
Right.
So I know that I probably wouldn't get away with that if I wrote a book. So I'm like, I'm going to edit this and edit that. I'm like, no, you're not editing nothing.
Yeah.
So lessons from a 99-year-old. Are you able to maybe elaborate on how you went about writing that article and possibly what it's about?
I mean, it is about my time with Aurora, also known as Laura. She was a good friend of mine's 99-year-old mother who needed some help being taken care of. She lived in his house when the pandemic first broke out for a solid year. I just wanted to write some things, tell a couple stories about my relationship with her. Meeting her, that was the pinnacle human experience of my life.
Absolutely.
You know. So that being said, I just wanted to share a little bit. I felt like maybe that article, the one thing that I got some feedback on was that it was possibly like a little choppy, didn't have much flow, but I think that was probably because my state of mind was just kind of like blurting it out at the time, and everything was kind of coming from memory instead of a notebook or something.
Right.
I thought about, boy, I should have documented my thing with her a little bit better, like wrote notes and whenever she said something funny. Yeah. I do have a couple of recordings of her, some audio recordings that I just let the tape roll while we were talking and stuff. But
nice.
She was amazing.
So with Aurora, your interactions with her, what have they showcased about how you view the world?
You meet a person like that and you appreciate how a person just doesn't stop. She was literally wiping down the steps.
Yeah, and, I read that. I was like,
and
wow.
It's like 99 years old. I mean, you could just chill out, but she couldn't just chill out because there was always something that needed to be done.
We're really interested about the piece you've brought in today. Could you care to elaborate about what that's all about?
Yeah, so we were actually creating the itinerary for the New York trip, and I'm obsessed with cats. So we were just talking about where we're going to go and different places we're going to visit while we were there.
Was there a challenge putting the piece together?
When we went there, the staff actually was a little unsure about doing an interview, and there were other people there that had reserved the same time slot, and they didn't really want to be there for the camera. So we had to do it very quickly, and there wasn't a whole lot of space, so that didn't really go well.
Was there other people that were involved?
I think it was mostly Brendan doing the editing. I know Steven was there to do the filming, and then I asked the questions.
What's your favorite thing to do?
Yeah, it's the video editing.
Just the video editing?
It's where I'm comfortable. I shine brightest when I'm comfortable.
Oh, like I said, I love writing, and I love social media. I really enjoy making Instagram reels. We don't have a TikTok yet, maybe in the future, but I like creating short videos and everything, and I think I'm pretty okay at that. And Claudia enjoys my videos that I make, so I think it's fun. It's just a little bit different than the content we usually put out.
Do you usually write up a script first or something like that?
I just like to wing it.
You just wing it?
It just comes to me.
I mean, I'm just entertained by how everything was ran by the students and their excitement. And the thing is like, I've yet to do a true journalistic piece.
Have you wanted to go and do like a big journalism piece?
No, not really. I don't fancy myself being some reporter or anything like that.
I guess a lot of it has fell on writing articles. I think a lot of people don't like to actually sit down and write things. Other people are more focused on photography and videography and those elements, but I really enjoy the writing, and I think that's my strong suit.
Do you read Rotten Tomatoes sometimes for movies?
I don't, but maybe I should.
What advice would you give for somebody that's either hesitant or on the fence about joining Owl Media?
I think the thing that keeps me there more than anything else is the people there. Everyone at Owl Media was extremely welcoming.
That's great. Just a fantastic group of people to work with.
Yeah.
People you can click with.
Jump in.
Just go for it.
Yes. I took a journalism 101 class, and then Claudia offered for me to go to an online convention, and it was so cool because I was able to attend it, and then they allowed us to take any course we wanted out of those for 2 weeks.
Just write. It's good to just write down everything, whip out your phone, put it in your notes.
I would say definitely go for it. We have full creative freedom to pretty much do whatever we want. We can cover whatever. And I think that's the best part. If you have a story to tell, then Claudia is like, yeah, go for it.
Do you have any future plans for journalism?
With my position, if it comes up in the future, then like, yeah, I'll consider going into it. My horizons have been broadened a little bit through these last 2 years.
You basically have a path in front of you. You're just wondering where that path is going to take you.
Honestly, just learn to be a more effective communicator.
Well, I am a massage therapist.
Oh, okay.
So in the state of Maryland, you cannot be your own massage therapist unless you have an associate's degree.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. You can work under someone else's license if they allow you to. But in order to do your own thing, to be your own therapist, you have to have an associate's
degree. You have to have a degree.
Yes.
I don't even know. I think that's what I'm still trying to figure out. I don't know exactly what I want to do if I do lean towards the writing aspects or the social media. I do love social media and my own personal, and creating content is really fun for me.
Well, we thank you, Brendan, for being here and telling us all about your experience at Owl Media.
Well, I appreciate you being here, Jenny. It's been awesome talking to you. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I did write an article. It was really about recreational cannabis. I was voting yes because as a medical patient in the past several years, I've really been blessed in finding the right strains and learning about terpenes. I really would like to help educate people on the benefits of it because it's not for everyone.
So thank you very much, Roger, and we'll see you all next time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Well, we thank you for being here, Summer. It's really appreciative. Yep. And this has been the Owl Media Spotlight. This is Adam Alkatib.
And Riley Mirabello.
Signing off.
Thank you so much for listening to our latest episode of the Owl's Nest podcast. I'm Renee Scuddy. For more information, you can visit our website at whfc911.org and feel free to listen to all of our other podcasts. Thanks so much for listening.